everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
The busy day in NFL news. Carolina Panthers hiring Matt Rhule. New York Giants hiring Joe Judge. And Josh McDaniels is like, hey, what do you want from me? Also, Joel Embiid's finger giving all other fingers the finger.
Oh, my.
Look at that. There's our panel. Let's go.
Look at that. Yeah, that's
you ever dislocate a finger?
That's a Booger McFarland situation right there.
This is my type of different Booger McFarland situation. I think he named Booger the first. Let's start with the Carolina Panthers hiring Matt Rhule. Carolina prying him away from Baylor for 7 years, $60 million. That's between Sean Payton and Andy Reid at per year salary for a rookie coach. Panthers owner Dave Tepper met with Rhule yesterday in Waco. Didn't want to give the Giants even a sniff of him today. So boom, you hired Tim Kalishaw. How does it all strike you?
Tony, as the only panelist here who was at Baylor clinching a trip to the Big 12 title game with that win over Texas.
That counts for
something. The other fellas were too busy. I knew he was headed for the NFL. It just two great turnarounds. The Temple one was even harder than what he did at Baylor. Now, I didn't know he was going to break the bank. You mentioned $60 million. That might be 70. They also had to pay $6 million buyout to get him out of the Baylor contract. But NFL teams have money, so why not spend a little? I think he's a great hire for the main reason is this. He won with comparable talent. When you talk about going after Lincoln Riley, Urban Meyer, guys who get five-star players and beat up on everybody, that's great at the college level. That means nothing towards the NFL. This is a guy who can take a fairly level playing field and go beat the other team, as he's shown twice. I think he'll do it at Carolina.
Clinton Yates, how about you?
He can do that in college against the Big 12. We don't know that that's going to translate to the NFL level, where he's only been at this highest point an offensive line coach. Look, I respect this guy for what he did with the Baylor program in terms of taking them out of the doldrums and the space they were in. I respect for him making Temple marginally relevant. And also, I understand why Tepper wants to get the hot guy. But if I'm looking across the landscape of NFL coaches in this country, I'm just not thinking he deserves this job. And it's very hard to talk about this without talking about all the other black candidates and all the other people that have come into positions. I salute him for getting this kind of money out of a, you know, out of an NFL owner. But right now, looking at everybody else that's been available, it's tough for me to see him walking into that job as being fair on any level to anybody else, although I don't blame him.
Can you pin it down, though, first and foremost? Is it because he's a college coach making the jump to the NFL? What is it?
Look, there were questions as to whether or not this guy was going to be able to coach USC out here and whether he was big time enough for that. I mean, it just seems like the levels that he's skipping in terms of all the other people that have done their due diligence and paid the dues seems a bit shocking to me. And that's not a knock on him personally. You take that job. But everybody else around there, Rooney Rhule, which we'll get to later, obviously, and all that, it just doesn't seem fair that this dude goes to that job so quickly. It doesn't strike me well.
Okay, and I'm glad you said that. I want to put a bookmark in that for a second. We will get to the Rooney Rhule a little bit later in the discussion. First on Rhule in Carolina, Bob Ryan, your first reaction?
Wow. First of all, he's supposed to be going to another city, but the one thing that comes to my mind, boy, he must give great interview. He's the hot flavor of the month guy, and I'm beware of this. And the money is astonishing, which only tells me that they were afraid he was going to go to New York, and they overpaid without question. I mean, they're giving him Gruden money, you know, almost. All right. Here's the one thing that I think is interesting about him, that overrides the fact that he only had the 1 year of direct NFL coaching experience as that O-line coach. He put 16 guys in the NFL, 11 of them from Temple. So that impresses me a little bit. One thing I kind of come back to, he must be a dazzling one-on-one person or one-on-two, whatever the interview process was for him. And I would have thought, though, that his proper avenue, and it was alluded to by Clinton, would have been to go resuscitate a dormant college program such as, for example, Florida State, which got a coach, or, and he mentioned it, SC. I thought that would have been the perfect way for him to go. And I'm surprised he's taking this jump right now, yes.
Kevin Blackstone?
Well, I'm not surprised he's taking the jump because he's been offered a boatload of money. That's incredible. You remember when John McKay was hired in the late 70s to coach Tampa Bay and they were off to a horrible start for several years and someone asked him about his plan. He said, I have a 5-year plan. And they said, why do you have a 5-year plan? He said, because I got a 5-year contract. This guy's got a 7-year contract completely unproven in the NFL. And beyond that, even though he was the Big 12 coach of the year, and I know what he did at Temple, that is a completely different animal. But this league is a copycat league, and I think that this is a team that once again thinks they got the guy who can whisper into the ear of some quarterback and get them to turn into some great player in the NFL. Don't think it's going to happen
anymore. Real quickly, does anybody think this hire makes it more likely it's a full rebuild or more likely Cam Newton stays? Clinton Yates, can you get your arms around that?
I think it's more likely a full rebuild. If you're an owner like Tepper and you're a coach like this, you can't, you know, sort of hamstring yourself coming into a new era. You've got to have a clean
break. Tim Kalishaw, you have a view on that?
Baylor was a great defensive team. They have a lot of imagination in what they do. That's Carolina was 31st in defense. I don't think it has to be a total rebuild. I think they can fix them.
Right, let's talk about Joe Judge and the Giants then. How quickly this one came together. Patriots wide receivers and special teams coach. He was there 8 years, and before that, he was a special teams assistant with Nick Saban at Alabama. Clinton Yates, you were just talking about skipping a few steps and jumping up to the big job. How does this one strike you? Joe Judge with the Giants.
You know, for as much as I looked at Rule and I said, wow, that's a heck of a place to go, this one was disheartening to see. I think about all the coaches that I just referred to. You think of the Leftwiches, you think of the Bienemies, guys who, you think of Jim Caldwell, for God's sakes, who had 2 9-7 seasons, ended up getting fired and can't get find a way back into the NFL. And you think to yourself, if you're a black coach in this league, what do you got to do to get a job? Honestly, answer me this, everybody in the NFL who's an executive, because at this point, we're well beyond just the interview process not working out. People just don't seem to want or care to give the due diligence to people that might deserve it. And look, I understand that coaching trees are coaching trees and it's who you know. But a guy to walk out of the special teams from the Patriots into that gig in that city, I'm sorry. It just doesn't feel right for me watching the NFL for a league that claims they want some level of diversity in their front offices and on their coaching staffs.
Tim Kalishaw?
Yeah, I mean, I could debate the Rule thing and whether he's the flavor of the month or a lot more than that for a long time. I'm completely with Clinton on this kind of hire. And the funny part is that he's, in addition to special teams, he's the Patriots wide receivers coach. Do they have any wide receivers? I don't know. They have Edelman running in the slot. I realize that. But, you know, this one strikes you as, what in the world are they doing? Look, we don't know anything about the guy, but that doesn't mean this hire makes any more sense than most of the things the Giants
have done. Well, this is a second example, general manager Dave Gettleman. You saw with Daniel Jones in the draft where the Giants made a move no one else was thinking about making, it seems, and Gettleman almost relishes that move. This one right here, hiring a guy from Belichick, also with relation to Nick Saban, do you see it in some way being a hire that you can make at this point, Kevin Blackstone?
Well, I mean, they can do what they want to do, and certainly those two names you just mentioned being on his resume makes him sparkle, I guess, a little bit more, but I just don't see how you do it. And, of course, the other coach on that list was Matt Rhule. The question to me is, what about Eric Bieniemy? When did the rules change? I thought it used to be like this. You graduate through the you matriculate through the NFL to become a coordinator, and then once you become a coordinator and you've proven yourself, then you get the shot at being a head coach. Now you don't even have to be a coordinator anymore. In fact, you don't even have to be in the NFL anymore. You can just make the leap from college right into the pros, right into a top job, and that's what's happening.
Let's have this greater conversation
with Judge,
here,
but certainly with the other guy.
Kevin, we've been talking for as long as the Rooney Rule has been around, which is now over a decade, right? The efficacy of it. KB, in this year's crop of coaching hires, do you see it being a failure, an absolute failure, one that can never work, or in some way at least still needs to be heard out?
Well, it's a failure this year. I mean, it works so oddly, right? A few years ago, we had a record number of coaches of color in this league. Then the next season came around, and a bunch of them got fired, and you were down to just two. And so now you're back to this cycle, and people are questioning the Rooney Rule. The only thing I know about the Rooney Rule is, before it was in place, you basically had nobody getting jobs or one guy getting a job. Once it got into place, people were forced to look at other people and give them an opportunity. But you got to wonder about that opportunity now and whether or not people are really being fair about it.
Bob Ron, your thoughts?
As far as the Rooney Rule is concerned, I had a history teacher who used to talk about things, quote, being honored in the breach rather than the observance. I think that's what's going on now. This is today's New York Post. I cannot wait to see tomorrow's.
Oh, that they wanted Rule today, and now out of nowhere comes Judge. So
Joe Judge's name does not appear in this newspaper today. This is a stunning development, and it is going to be greeted by the New York fans as the most underwhelming news of the century. This is going to be worse than the Knicks drafting Frederick Weiss in their eyes. They were looking for a lot more than a special team slash wide receivers coach of the New England Patriots. Now, he does have the Bill Belichick seal of approval, as have had many others, with very, very mixed success. It's I don't know what to say about it. The guy's credentials compared to the people that have been alluded to already on this program do not appear to stack up. And Dave Gettleman is risking a whole lot here. And not for the first time, I must say. He must be feeling pretty secure. We'll see.
Glenn Yates.
It's particularly surprising because of what KB talked about from the positional rankings. Look, Bieniemy came up as an offensive coordinator, something that a lot of brothers don't get the chance to do. They're forced to the defensive side. Leftwich is the same way. For a dude to come from special teams and hole shot everybody, you're thinking, we did this the right way, as in the way everybody else did it, meaning black folks, and now it seems the rules have changed in order to get a position at the top. Look, I don't want to say that the people who take these jobs don't deserve them because everybody is trying hard, but I will say that if there's not feeling like a genuine effort, an honest effort, in order to try to diversify ranks, people are going to notice. And by people, I mean us, black folks in America. It's real.
And if you could put it in one word, you would say it's been dishonest, the Rooney Rule, the implication, the efficacy of it. Has been dishonest?
I would say that the application has been disingenuous to what the goal was.
Stone and then Kalishaw.
Well, this year it's been vexing because you thought progress had been made just a couple years ago, and all of a sudden you've had this backslide. And this is really what ticks off coaches, assistant coaches of color in this league who think they have an opportunity.
And Tim Kalishaw?
And I think what we're seeing or learning is that until there's more African-American owners or at least general managers, the people making these hires, this situation isn't really going to get resolved.
Can you think of one special teams coach that was hired to take the head coaching job? I can. John Harbaugh, right? It's almost like, oh, can we get a John Harbaugh? And what about our team? And that is alluring, of course, to franchises. I'm thinking, Bob, about Josh McDaniels right now because I know he's going to interview with Cleveland on Friday. But the idea that it's his wide receivers coach that was hired before him, how much of it do you think is this is the way the jobs go, and how much of it is that he jilted the Colts 2 years ago?
It does look suspicious. I grant you, he's been passed over twice this week, but I just can't bring myself to go there.
We'll be back.
I kiss fire cell next.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
Carson Wentz must protect himself better because there are lots of Jadeveon Clownies out there. Philadelphia Inquirer today, Marcus Hayes wrote it. Clinton, buy or sell that hit on Carson Wentz being on Carson Wentz.
I'm selling that. This whole column was blaming Carson basically for getting himself injured for, hello, playing NFL football. Maybe he shouldn't have picked the guy, giving him all that money if he couldn't stay out of people's way, because that's how he likes to play and it's how he's done since college. You can't blame him for getting hurt when he's out there doing his best.
Tim Kalishaw?
I got to sell this too. I mean, I think you can have a debate about Carson Wentz and has his decision-making slowed down, maybe a product of not having the wide receivers he used to have. But that play in particular, he gives a look, he gets tackled, and Clowney hits him in the back of the head. Can't put that on him.
Evan Blackstone.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a great shot by Jadeveon Clowney, by the way. I mean, I think that should have drawn a penalty, actually. But I do think there's some merit in saying that a quarterback needs to be more responsible for what they do on the field and need to understand how important they are to the team. I mean, we say that about Lamar Jackson and his coaching staff. We said that about RG3. We've said that about other quarterbacks. This is not new.
Okay, so you believe this? There's some truth to this here. Mm-hmm. Bob Ryan, how about you?
The criticism does not stem from just this one play, which, by the way, is not the best example to prove that he should be doing it better. But he should be doing it better 4 years in. The evidence is out there that he needs to learn how to throw the damn ball away a little more often.
Buy or sell two. You say you will do anything for a win when you're on a losing streak? Well, let me see if you guys do this in a showdown. Joel Embiid, that's a dislocated finger. He played through it, and the Sixers beat the Thunder. Before the game, I want to talk about Brett Brown's comments saying Ben Simmons not shooting threes is because he, Brown, has failed. Tim, buy or sell that it's the coach's wrongdoing here, that Ben Simmons doesn't hit the three, doesn't shoot the three, and the Sixers are struggling because of it.
Well, I mean, I think players play, and it's fine if he wants to take the blame. What he needs to do is just sit Ben Simmons down, show him some video of Jason Kidd's jump shot his first couple years, and say, this guy became a top 10 three-point shooter for his career. You don't have to worry about not having a great shot now. You will get there. Just get it going.
JB?
Absolutely. Coaches are supposed to coach, and this is the era of the three-point shot, be it in college or be it in the pros, and you've got to develop that. So I'm glad that Brown took it upon himself. I remember that when the three-point shot came into college, Bob Knight hated it. But a few years after that, he had one of the top-scoring offenses in all of college basketball because of utilizing three-point shot.
You guys are both going to get – I heard from both of you, players play and coaches coach. Let's not do this, all right, Bob Ryan? Have this panel here answer the question about Brown saying this is on him, and then talk to me about how necessary it is that Ben Simmons at least shoot threes, not make threes, but shoot threes, because that's the discussion here.
Brown is falling on his sword. He's being a good guy. He's being a mensch. He's not the problem. The problem is Ben Simmons himself, who appears to think this is a badge of honor to play the game this way. I'll go right to Elton Brand. Next summer, they lock him in the gym for 5 hours a day, and having him take threes, and this is on Ben Simmons, but they got to make him, they got to punish him. Punish him. You hear me? He's squandering his career.
Do you believe it's necessary for a player to shoot threes in today's NBA game? Not to make them, but just to spread out the floor and shoot threes.
Do I? Apparently, as much as I hate the three, it's a reality.
And Clinton?
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. But you know where else Ben Simmons could have worked on that shot? In the World Cup with his country. He decided he didn't want to do that because he wanted to shoot around on Instagram with his boys. So if Brett Brown can't figure out a way to get him involved in his offense, I understand. But it does come down to him at the end of the day. They miss J.J. Redick badly, as much as they miss Jimmy Butler for that lack of accountability.
Buy or sell three. Hold on to your butts, Bob Ryan. Ken Rosenthal reporting the 2018 Red Sox won the World Series in 108 games, had an illegal replay room to learn their opponents' sign sequences. So there's that to add to the Astros, which maybe we'll get a ruling in the next couple of weeks, and that to add to this report from Hannah Kaiser, Yahoo Sports, about Major League Baseball's plan to eliminate sign stealing, going to great lengths, including on-the-field adjustment that use passcode technology, like when you log into your work email, or lights on the mound the catchers turn on that only the pitchers can see. Kevin Blackstone, buy or sell?
I'm going to sell that, and because if I read the story right, they were going into the replay room to grab these signs. Why not just put a door with a lock on the replay room so that they don't go inside? That's very low tech. But I understand you got to make some adjustments in this high technology
room.
I'm selling also. You could put a person there, hire the league, hire somebody to prevent anybody from going in. It's not that simple. And by the way, have we reached the point where we have to have players sign non-disclosure agreements when they go play for a team?
Okay. I think you're describing a security guard now to stand in front of the room. We're talking about lights on the mound or a security guard or the passcode to get on your work email, Clinton Yates. Is this necessary? What's baseball?
Two-factor verification throwing off speed pitch in the big leagues is not the kind of baseball I want to watch. You want to prevent this nonsense? Throw somebody out of the game for life, and it will stop. I guarantee it. That's all you got to do.
And are you saying a player, or are you saying somebody in the front office?
I'll take a GM, I'll take a manager, perhaps a player, perhaps all three, because that's what it takes in order to make
okay,
it work.
And Kalischel, let's get a last word here from you.
Put an MLB official in every replay room. When the first pitch of the game is thrown, nobody comes in there except the coach who's looking to tell the replays, to tell the manager about the replays. Players are just a lot.
Great stuff today. Clinton Yates, Kevin Blackstone, No Time Though, and Showdown. Tim Kalischel, Bob Ryan.
Ooh.
To enter, only one wins in Showdown. Next.
There's Crispy. And then there's Crispy. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy.
Tim Kalischel, Bob Ryan, and OG Showdown. Good luck. Incredible stat lines from the NBA last night. Jokic, 47 points, no turnovers. Bogdanovich, 35 points, no assists, no rebounds, no blocks, no steals. And Doncic, 38, 11, 10, another triple-double. Tim Kalischel, who won the night?
I respect Bogdanovich and his homage to Freddie Brown there, but I'm going to go with Luka Doncic. More 30-point triple-doubles than the rest of the entire league. Incredible what he's doing. He's 20 years old.
As someone who is in playing in own playing days, neither rebounded nor passed very much, but could put the ball in the basket a little, I admire Bogdanovich's single dedication to one pass. Therefore, he's got one of those great box scores, 35 billion, 35 followed by endless amount of O's. Bogdanovich is my man.
Has more 30-point triple-doubles than the rest of the league combined, as Kalischel said. Point to TC. Showdown 2. Check this out. These are the XFL rule changes, or at least the ones they're going to enforce and play with this season, that are different than the NFL. It's just a partial list. But there's 24 different rules the XFL will have than the NFL has. Bob, looking at them, do you have a favorite rule change?
1 foot in. It's long, long, long overdue. The same as colleges. It's football, not acrobatics, not gymnastics.
No more
I love
kicks
that rule.
After touchdowns. You can go for one. You can move it back a little. Go for two. You can move it back to the 10-yard line. Go for three.
Bob, you needed to go for two here. Or maybe you needed to go for three. You didn't. FaceTime, Tim Kalischel.
Oh, man. I'm going to go back in time here. I'm going to go all the way back 6 days ago. People are flipping around. They see this hockey game on New Year's Day, as we've seen for a few years now. What is this? Where is this? It's the Cotton Bowl. 85,000 people. I used to go to hockey games right next door in Fair Park Coliseum. They got 85,000 people a season to go see the Dallas Blackhawks. An amazing day as hockey continues to spread.
And this was, what, 3 miles from your house, so you were there. That's great, yeah.
Well, I had to watch some
football. Oh, you didn't show up to the Kalischel Cup? We'll see you tomorrow.